Good morning. How are y'all today? Kind of overloaded. This side's all full and this side's pretty sparse. Guess that's kind of normal. Like to welcome y'all here today. Can you hear me? Our normal pastors are on vacation this week, so I'm leading the service today, and since Margaret normally plays the organ, we needed more music, so Joan Christner has agreed to play for us today. And to bring our message today, we have Mark Hinka from KJIL, and I'll introduce him a little more later when it's his turn. And Dale and Margaret will be gone this Sunday and next Sunday, so they're gone all this week, so there's no office hours this week. If you need help, feel free to call me, or you can call Marge, or Margaret said you can call her cell phone, but I would encourage you to let her have vacation. So just feel free to call me or Marge if you have something you need urgently. We are going to have our dinner again on Wednesday. We didn't have it last week because of spring break, but we're going to start it up again this week. And there's a couple ladies, I think, doing the cooking, and I'm going to be running the rest of it. So don't worry, I'm not cooking, so you can still come. And it's still March, so it's still our turn to help with the food bank. We have the grocery cart out there. It's getting pretty full, but we have plenty of room for more. We could fill it up several times probably if we wanted to. And we have some special services coming up the 1st of April. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and the week after that is Easter. We won't be having our regular Wednesday dinner on April 1st because we're going to have a Monday-Thursday service with foot washing and a meal on Thursday. So there are sign up for the Monday-Thursday dinner on the bulletin board outside there. And also on Easter Sunday, we will be having Easter dinner here at the church. So it's a potluck if you want to bring your sign up to bring something for that too. We'd appreciate that. I just wanted to remind you that today afterwards we have an offering plate in the back for the KJIL ministry, the Christian Radio Ministry. If you would like to give to that, there will be an offering plate at the back. You can put that in there on your way out. Is there any other announcements that I missed? I think I got everything. All right. We're going to begin our worship with a prayer that Sean gave me. And I did something, but it made it bigger, so that's good. So now I can read it. So let's pray. Oh God, teach me not to envy, to hate, to justify, to imitate, to support, to ennoble, or to kill for those who take the food from the table of others and then teach contentment, those for whom taxes are destined to, who demand sacrifice, those who eat their fill, who speak to the hungry of good times to come, those who lead humanity in the abyss, calling hate, love, unfaithfulness, faithfulness, lies, truth, slavery, freedom, too much, not enough, homicide, heroism, evil, good. And, oh God, teach me when I have food to remember the hungry, when I have work to remember the jobless, when I have a home to remember the homeless, when I am free to remember the imprisoned, when I am without pain to remember the suffering, when I am loved, to remember the unloved, when I am dying, to remember the dying, when I am living, to remember the dying, when I am dead, to remember the living. In remembering, help me to destroy my complacency, bestow my compassion, and thereby spend my time and my eternity doing good upon earth, helping by word and deed, by prayer and sacrifice of self, for those who cry out and for what I take for granted. Amen. Okay, we're going to worship the Lord now by singing number 14, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. It's number 14 in your hymnal, or it'll be up there on the screen. Thank you. You may be seated. So now we come to the point in the service where we share our praises and concerns. So does anyone have any praises or prayer requests this morning?
Remember Dorcas, she's not doing real well today.
Okay. Yeah, that's part of the reason why we're filling out that shopping cart out there. Anything else?
Abigail will be having some minor surgery on Tuesday, which will require the anesthesia, and that's where she has the most trouble.
Okay. Yeah, Carla and I were talking this morning that Margaret was kind of frantic, I think, this week. She had pastors and wives retreat at the first of the week, and she was trying to finalize plans for them being gone, and she was getting ready to go on vacation for a week and a half, and she was sending me some emails that didn't make much sense, and or she'd left out, you know, an attachment or something. And so I think she really needs this vacation. I think Pastor Dale does too. Anything else?
Pray for those who have hate in their heart.
All right, anything else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that we can come to you and that we can gather here together and pour out our hearts together with you. And just ask that you would be with these requests now. We think of Dorcas and how she has gone from us today and she is not feeling well. We just pray that you would touch her and just help her to know that you are there with her and that you will bring her through this one way or the other. And we just thank you for her sweet spirit and her kindness and her outgoing spirit and how she loves you and loves to show that. And we just miss her and ask you to be with her and bless her now. Think of the homeless and the hungry, and even here in this country where there are so many blessings, there are still people that homeless, and there are people that go without food each day. We just ask that you would help us to do what we can with what you've given to us, and help us to remember them and to not ignore them, but to really reach out in the name of Jesus and with his love. Pray for those also with hate in their hearts, that you would touch them, and I pray that you would use each one of us to overcome that hatred with love, and just pray that your spirit would be used by this body of believers and this community, that we would be able to reach out and to touch hearts that are hurting and that are lost without you. And we just ask that you would continue to use us. I think of Abigail and the surgery that she's coming up this week. We just pray that you would help her to get through this, and as we know that she is going under some anesthesia, that you would help her body to accept it and to not overreact, and that the surgery would be successful, and that she would come through this better than before. And we just ask that you would be with her and be with Karen and Mike too, as they are concerned about their daughter, and Lyle and Molly, their granddaughter. And she is part of our church family, even though they don't attend here. And we just ask that you would watch over her. Pray especially for our pastors, Margaret and Dale, that you would watch over them, give them a good day today as they enjoy fellowshipping with their daughter and her family and with the church there. We pray that you would bless their time with them, and that they would be able to relax this week and have a good time and just enjoy themselves and their children and grandchildren and have a really good time and be renewed and revitalized and refreshed. And I just ask that you would continue to bless their ministry here. We're so grateful for them, that you brought them to us, and that all the things that they do for us and how they minister to us. And we just ask your blessing on them and help us as they're a way to depend on you and to trust in you, and help us to continue to worship you now as we go on with the service, as we bring our tithes and our offerings to you. We ask you to bless them, that you would continue to minister here through the church, and that you would continue to use us in this community of Abilene and Dickinson County, and just ask that your name would be lifted up and honored and glorified in all that we do. And we ask that your name, the name of Jesus, would be lifted up and glorified through all the answers to these prayers. And we ask it in his name. Amen. The ushers, please come forward. As I mentioned earlier, we have Mark Hinka from, is that how you say your name? From KJL Radio. You're the station manager, right? And he is going to come and share what God has placed on his heart for us today. So, Mark, come on up.
No, you're good. Thank you. I've got a whole, he's got the tablet and I've got all these pieces of paper. I apologize. I want to thank you. There goes my Bible now. It's going too. How about that? Thank you for allowing your pastors to have a vacation, number one, Pastor Dale and Margaret. And thank you for allowing my wife and I to come and worship with you this morning. It is a true blessing to know that we're all in this together as Christians. We're Christ followers. A Christian is a Christ follower. And so I'd like to share with you just a few components of what, if I may, to some degree, I struggled with for a long time, and I still struggle with at times, and also just observing. I don't know if, do you ever go to the mall or go to Walmart, and you kind of, isn't it kind of fun just to watch people, you know? Isn't it, I mean, I could do that all the time. And unfortunately, I think our human nature sometimes takes us to the aspect of maybe we kind of judge a little bit, don't we, maybe? Or we make evaluations, or we do some comparisons. And if you bear with me one second, I'm going to get my stuff here. Okay. So I say all that to say this is that I think sometimes as Christians in the church, wonderful, God-fearing, loving Christians, I think sometimes we take a measuring stick and maybe we compare. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with comparison. I mean, we've got the basketball tournament going on, the NCAA basketball tournament. You've got different seeds, okay? Teams have different levels of success. But there's a difference. You look at that, and here's the number one seed, so they must be better than the number 16 seed or something like that. You know what I mean? So we're used to that. We go to the mall, we look, and this person's big, and this person's small, and this one's got long hair, and this one's wearing this, And I think that as a Christian sometimes that we can get caught up and that can become a habit and we begin to compare ourselves to other people. And I'm going to go into Scripture a little bit with you here to show you a little bit as a Christ follower that we really don't have to do that. That every one of us, no matter our age, no matter, if you follow Christ, you have a distinction. You have unique qualities. You are uniquely made in the image of God. And so I want to share with you a little bit about that. Okay, so comparing is a habit that we can get into, and this is just what I believe, okay? When we take that measuring stick out and we start saying, okay, well, this person's way more better in the Bible. He knows way much more than I do. So I must be less than. And in the eyes of God, you're not. So many times when we compare, it can rob us. It can rob us of our identity in Him. We can have a lot of, or develop pity, self-pity. It's like, well, I'm worthless. You know, I ain't got nothing. I've got nothing to offer. I've got nothing to offer to God. I don't have anything unique. I don't have anything spectacular and wonderful. It'll rob you of joy. It'll rob you of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And all of us, barring where we're at with God, we got to have joy. We can't do it on our own, and we can't do it in our own flesh. It's not designed to do that. You're going to be unfulfilled. You're going to be discontented. I know that's my struggle many times. If I'm not following Jesus, and if I'm not identifying with Him, and if I'm comparing, there's always going to be someone greater. There's always going to be someone less. And I know I'm saying the obvious there, but I just, again, you are blessed with. I can see it in your eyeballs. You guys all have special qualities that you add to this church, that you add to the community, that you add to the world. You have many times we don't realize what we do and how that changes the world. Okay? I would like to read from 2 Corinthians 10, verses 12 through 18. Okay? And this is Paul, and I'm going to read from the New King James Version real quick because it's a little bit more, okay? This is what he said. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Let's go that far into that scripture. Paul's saying it's not wise to compare yourself. As a Christ follower, we follow Christ. We have authority that we follow under, our pastors within the church content. Obviously, no doubt about that. But when we begin to compare, it's unwise. Paul says, let me go on. Paul is basically saying if it's not wise, when you're not wise, you're without understanding is another way to say that. You're without understanding of who you are in Christ. So the comparison thing, we can stay away from. And I'll take this a step further, okay? If it's not wise, and all of that, and that statement is just so long, you know, we dare not compare ourselves, commend themselves, measuring themselves, comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. That's complicated to me. I mean, it's like Barth said, you know, my last name, I mean, there's not a lot of Hinkas in the world. Okay, so we keep it simple. We keep it simple, and my wife Linda, God bless her, she knows that I can complicate things at times, and I really want to bring it down to simplicity. But that's what it is. Paul is saying that if we do all of that and we're not wise, we miss out what really counts, and that is the simplicity of Christ. Now he's vast and complex, but when it comes to a personal relationship with him, do we really want to make it complicated? Just allowing Christ to motivate us, to guide us through his word, through fellowship, through worship, through giving? My goodness, let's just keep it simple. How many of you would agree the world is a complicated place already? Would you? I mean, honestly, it's too complicated. Let's make it simple. And it starts always from the inside out. God works from the inside out. Okay, one of the things that I really, again, it's not about me, but here's the things that I need. When I'm seeking something from God, the Word says that he has a still small voice. And I miss it a lot. And so I ask God, can you give me a billboard? I need a billboard. I need something just so I don't excessively read. I just need a billboard. And so here's a little bit of a billboard that I would like to share with you to avoid comparing and more simply follow Christ, okay? It's a lane. L-A-N-E. It's a lane. How many of you did track in your day? How many of you did racing in your day? Just can you picture a lane? Can you picture a lane in your head, if you would? When you're in that lane, and if you did track, and even if you don't know about track, here's the thing. For those of you that did do track, what happens if you go out of your lane? Disqualified. So it's wise to kind of stay in your lane, right? So to follow Christ and to make it simple, it's spending time with him. It's find out what your gift is. Doesn't matter the age. Maybe you've identified it. Maybe you're walking in it right now. But for a lot of folks, including me, sometimes, you know, I need God to show me and put me back in my place, in my lane. And here's the thing about Jesus, okay? Word says he'll never ever leave us nor forsake us. So within that lane, not only can Jesus walk alongside of us, when we need help, but he's also at the finish line. We want to run the good race. Remember that? So, if you start veering out of your lane a little bit, and if it's not God ordained, you're probably going to be frustrated, maybe unfulfilled, maybe angry, maybe envious. Because it's real easy when you compare, isn't it? It's real easy to get, you know, it's not overcoming, but inside, in the deepest part of your heart, you're going, man, I'd like to just really be like that person. Or I want to be better than that person. Nothing wrong with being motivated. That's one thing. But I think when it turns into envy or jealousy or something of that nature, or feeling less than, you're not less than. God has equipped all of us as believers. Holy Spirit resides in us. The fruit of His Spirit is what? Love, and joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. We have all that we need in here, and we can apply that in our lane, can't we? And we don't have to look around at everybody else and feel less than. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 6 says, I'm going to read you a couple of different translations if I can, from the New King James. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. You have a gift. There's multiple gifts out there, no doubt about it. Let me read you from the Message Bible and go on a little bit past verse 6. I'll pick it up there. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. How many of you like variety? Don't you like to go to the store and have a lot of different choices? Diversity, isn't that great? That's awesome. And in the big picture, God has created a uniqueness here, a uniqueness here. Everybody's got a uniqueness. And we get a chance to enjoy each other and all the differences that we have within the commonality of Christ. How blessed can we be? It's incredible. How would you like to have a faith that wasn't centered upon a risen Savior? Honestly, if you would think that through logically, I don't think you'd find a whole lot of security or strength. We are so blessed. We have the best message. We have the best of anything in Christ. And we can work with Him and be fulfilled in our lives and not have to worry about what somebody else is doing or somebody else being better, someone else not being so good or whatever. I think that, and again, this is totally an observation, there are within the church, there are three kinds of folks, okay? And I'll just share this. This is just an observation. All of us, I think, realize that we have a gift or a combination of giftings. So we all have a lane. We all have that lane that we can work in that. Seek God. Jesus is at the end of the finish line. But also, when you're getting ready for a track meet, you also kind of look around a little bit and you see what the competition. You're going to see an unbeliever off there at work. You begin that day in your lane knowing what your gifting is. Before you set up to the start line, God can show you and share within you what you can do to help that person at work or to help that family member that isn't saved or go to Antarctica on a mission trip, whatever, okay? So you've got folks that have gifts, a lane, if you will, but you don't know how to use it. You don't know how to apply that gift in following Jesus necessarily. That's why the church is so great. Because the church encourages and edifies, and it may help refine that. God will use members in this congregation, fellow Christians, to help shape that gift to find the fullest fulfillment in the way that He created us. And a lot of the world, the people that maybe come to church on Easter and Christmas, no judgment, I'm just saying, they don't realize they have a gift. They really, in many cases, they don't realize that they have that. You got folks that have a gift, identified gift, and it just is so frustrating to use it. Or maybe you were hurt. Or maybe working in that gift, there was some abuse somehow. And you're discouraged to use that gift. Let me encourage you again. When we follow, because the best leaders are followers. Pastor Dale and Margaret, if they weren't, they're leaders. But if they didn't follow, Jesus, they wouldn't be a very good leader here, would they? None of us would. So you'll be unhappy, honestly, if you don't walk in your calling, if you will. There's a frustration there. And maybe you've been there. Maybe you haven't. For those of us that have, God bless you guys for being encouragement to us, being a great model and example. The church needs to encourage and edify each other. Because, you know, in the book of James, every gift that God has imparted into you is from above. It's from above. It's a divine gift. And it may be real spectacular, and it may not. But within that following of Jesus, within the non-comparisons, if you will, we have to have, if we have Jesus, we have love. God is love, right? God is love. And that love can be expressed in many different ways. I believe that if you hit a valley experience, you know, we're Psalm 23 talks about, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, and we need to cling to Him. And with Him, He can take us out of that. We're more than overcomers because of His love for us, Scripture says. So whatever that gifting, whatever your lane assignment is, it may be something like Billy Graham. It may be something very secretly that you do for your neighbor. It may be helping someone in need, and no one but you and God knows. And everything in between. That's what's really neat about the Lord. I went on the net, and I want to read you just a quick story that I could. This is from a taxi driver. His name is Kent Nurtenburn. And if you bear with me here, I just want to read this real quick. And I just want to give you an example of sometimes you can walk in your lane, and it's a continuous thing. You just see that flow. You see your source, your inspiration is Jesus, and He's walking alongside you, and He's also at the end of the finish line. And sometimes that can be a real good long season in your life. And then sometimes, because I don't know if this guy's a believer, okay, so I'm just going to read what he wrote. He's a taxi driver. I was responding to a call from a small brick fourplex in a quiet part of town. I assumed I was being sent to pick up some partiers, or someone who had just had a fight with a lover, or someone going off to an early shift at some factory for the industrial part of town. When I arrived at the address, the building was dark except for a single light in a ground floor window. Under these circumstances, many taxi drivers would just honk once or twice and wait a minute and then drive away. Too many bad possibilities awaited a driver who went up to a darkened building at 2:30 in the morning. But I had seen too many people trapped in a life of poverty who depended on their cab as their only means of transportation. Unless a situation had a real whiff of danger, I always went to the door to find the passenger. It might, I reasoned, be someone who needs my assistance. Would I not want a driver to do the same if my mother or father had called for a cab? So I walked to the door and knocked. "Just a minute," answered a frail, elderly voice. I could hear the sound of something being dragged across the floor, and after a long pause, the door opened, and a small woman somewhere in her 80s stood before me. She was wearing a print dress and a pillbox hat with a veil pinned on it, like you would see in maybe a 1940s movie. By her side was a small nylon suitcase. The sound had been her dragging it across the floor. The apartment looked as if no one had lived in it for years. "Would you carry my bag out to the car?" she said. "I'd like a few moments alone. Then if you would come back and help me, I'm not very strong." I took the suitcase to the cab, then returned to assist the woman. She took my arm and we walked slowly toward the curb. She kept thanking me for my kindness. "It's nothing," I told her. "I just try to treat the passengers the way that I would want my mother treated." "Oh, you're such a good boy," she said. Her praise and appreciation were almost embarrassing. When we got to the cab, she gave me an address and then asked, "Could you drive through downtown?" "Well, it's not the shortest way," I answered. "Oh, I don't mind," she said. "I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to a hospice." I looked in the rearview mirror. Her eyes were gleaming. "I don't have any family left," she continued. "The doctor says I should go there. He says I don't have very long." I quietly reached over and shut off the meter. "What route would you like me to go?" I asked. For the next 2 hours, we drove through the city. She showed me the building where she had once worked as an elevator operator. We drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband had lived when they had first been married. She had pulled me up in front of a furniture warehouse that had once been a ballroom where she had danced as a little girl. As the first hint of sun was creasing over the horizon, she suddenly said, "I'm tired. Let's go now." We drove in silence to the address she had given me. It was a low building like a small convalescent home with a driveway that passed under a portico. Two orderlies came out to the cab as soon as we pulled up. Without waiting for me, they opened the door. They began assisting the woman. They were intent, watching her every move. They must have been expecting her. Perhaps she had phoned them right before we left. I opened the trunk and took the small suitcase up to the door. The woman was already seated in a wheelchair. "How much do I owe you?" she asked, reaching into her purse. "Nothing," I said. "You have to make a living," she answered. "There are other passengers," I responded. Almost without thinking, I bent and gave her a hug. She held on to me tightly. "You gave an old woman a little moment of joy. Thank you." There was nothing more to say. I squeezed her hand once, then walked out into the dim morning light. Behind me, I could hear the door shut. It was the sound of the closing of a life. I didn't pick up any more passengers that shift. I drove aimlessly, lost in thought. For the remainder of the day, I could hardly talk. What if that woman had gotten an angry driver, or one who was impatient to end his shift? What if I had refused to take the run, or had honked once and then driven away? What if I had been in a foul mood and had refused to engage the woman in conversation? How many moments like that had I missed or failed to grasp? We are so conditioned to think that our lives revolve around great moments. But great moments often catch us unaware. When that woman hugged me and said that I had brought her a moment of joy, it was possible to believe that I had been placed on earth for that sole purpose of providing her with that last drive. I do not think that I have ever done anything in my life that was more important. What we do in the giftings of our lane, it may be something, I mean, I don't know if this guy's a believer or not, but it's a powerful message, isn't it? You have incredible resurrection power. We all do. And when we seek God's will, it may be wonderfully, I mean, I think this is probably turned spectacular, but I would have to say that this guy, his life was changed. He had a fulfillment. You know, he took that awesome command that Jesus gave us is to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, didn't he? And treat others the way that we want to be treated. So I would like, in closing, if I could, this is of course, one of those scriptures you've probably heard an awful lot about. It's at the end of John. And my Bible's all messed up here. And I even read this without my glasses. I didn't even realize that. That's a miracle in itself, because my goodness. Okay, here we go. If you would, if you have your Bibles with you or your tablets with you, let's go to John 21, verses 18 and 19. Now I am going to need my glasses. Now, just putting it into context, of course, Jesus is talking to Peter, okay? And how would you like it if, if someone's telling you, now this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, don't get me wrong, but someone's kind of telling you how you're going to die, and he's telling you it's not going to be fun. You know, you're going to, if you're going to follow, it's not going to be fun. Not at all. So here's Jesus telling Peter, I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This is the one, you gotta love John, this is the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Can I stop right there just for a second? Was Peter comparing? Yeah. He took the yardstick out with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and said, this is the guy, okay, this is the guy that really kissed up to you, and he has proclaimed that he's the one that you really love. Now, the rest of us, I know you love us, but he says that you love him more. We compare, don't we? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Peter turned and saw, okay, let me go on here. Jesus, now in verse 22, Jesus answered, if you want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? What does he say again? You must follow me. You must. Here's the Christ. Here's the risen Christ. You must follow me. That's a message in itself for all of us. Because of this, of course, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die, but Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? Jesus was, I think, compassionate with Peter. And he basically says, you know what, Peter? Throw the measuring stick away. Throw the yardstick away. Don't compare. Just follow me. Just follow me. It's simple. It's simple. Don't, for all of us, let me encourage you, just don't think yourself to death. Don't try to justify and rationalize it. The Lord will reveal, and he may reveal through a church member, through your spouse, through a family member, a divine revelation through his word. You all are so incredibly gifted. You all have a distinct call. I just want to encourage you to follow it. Follow him. Follow the Christ. He wants us to finish well. He does. And you will. Keep our eyes on Jesus, right? So if I might, may I pray real quick and just ask God's blessing? Father, I just absolutely, we all are, we're enthralled by your love for us. And it's beyond words many times, Lord. We can't even begin to express how your grace, your mercy, your love has shaped us and reshaped us, Lord. And God, that you have a distinct calling, a distinct lane, a distinct purpose. And we're not done yet. We're still here, Lord. So, Father, we as a church, as a body of believers, we come to you now with a humble heart, Lord, and ask that you reveal that to those of us that don't know what that gift or that gifting is. Or we do know and we don't know how to apply it. Or we've been hurt or frustrated in using it before and we've become discouraged. Lord, I just pray your transformation, your incredible, incredible power, Lord, to help us seek you first and know that all of those things will be added unto that. Lord, thank you that you give us gifts. Thank you that you created us in your divine image, Lord. And Father, we just ask that you can be glorified through our lives. Lord, may your light shine through us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Mark. Mark read there in John, Jesus was saying to Peter, but I think he's saying that to all of us, follow me. We're going to close with a song that's not in our hymnal, so you'll have to look at the words. I have decided to follow Jesus. And John, we're going to do the first verse again at the end. So that'll be four verses. Remember this when you leave today, that you've decided to follow Jesus and there's no turning back. Follow him as you leave this place and throughout the week. And don't forget, we're taking an offering for KJIL radio. They are listener-supported radio. They have great people like Mark working there, proclaiming the gospel. They do play modern Christian music, and some of you don't like that, but I really enjoy it. I listen to it on the way to work and the way home, and I think it's really a worthwhile ministry. So God bless you as you leave, and have a great week.